World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. It's the 21st day of May 2024, show number 2157. Lord's not making another day like this one. This is a day he has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And just grateful all of you for joining us here today. Come to you with a little bit of a heavy heart. You know, it's really, really kind of ironic that I was in yesterday's show, I was talking about the fact that 71 years ago today, my family was in a car accident. My brother lost his arm and went through all that whole thing. And I got off the show yesterday, and my brother's wife, Susie, called me and said, you know, I think Dan's had another stroke, yada, yada, yada. And so I jumped right off the show and went over there. Dan wasn't very good. Dan wasn't very good when I got there. I got stopped right there. Susie, his wife, has just been she's just been unbelievable. Because Dan's health, although Dan was a really, really jovial, happy-go-lucky, I mean, he lived life and he loved life. I'm telling you, he loved his beer and he loved his poker, and anybody knew Dan, he was one of a kind. But anyway, Susie called me and I went over there, and Dan had a couple strokes. Couple medical issues. He was supposed to go to the doctor today, believe it or not, because he fell a couple weeks ago, still didn't have his balance and whatever. When I got over there, and I knew Dan wouldn't, and I knew he wasn't very good. And so we called the squad immediately, got the squad over here. Excuse me. I'm sorry. And they came in, you know, they got him, he wasn't breathing really, in my opinion, and heart, not much of a pulse rate. And they got both of those going, amazing, the machines that they have, bringing in the room. It took him out, took him to the hospital. And of course, we called everybody, went over to the hospital, and you know, got all the family, and most of all the family was able to come in and see him, and he didn't make it. So, you know, it's been an emotional 24 hours. And it's funny because, as I said yesterday, I was talking about my brother Dan losing his arm. Remember me talking about that? And happened on May 20th. And that's a picture of Dan about a couple years ago. And that's his wife, Susie. God bless you, Susie. And his left arm, he lost it, as I said, when he was 7 months old in a car accident. Again, think about this, right? Somehow he went out, he was sitting on mom's lap, didn't have car seats back then, all that stuff. And mom was holding him on her lap, other two kids in the back seat, blindsided by a drunk driver. And they think Dan went out the window and his arm went through the wing. You guys remember the wings? Severed his arm, 7 months old. And 71 years later, to the day, he passed. Isn't that something? What are the odds of that? May 20th. Day that he lost his arm is the day that he passed into eternity. He used to beat the shit out of me when we were kids. He's 2 years older than I was. We had a little competition went on. You know, I was always better at everything than he was. I had two arms. I suppose that's why. But we had a love-hate relationship. We never hated each other. Just a competitive. He's one of my greatest supporters, and it is what it is. So Dan passed into eternity yesterday. We all got a chance to be there. Got some pictures of my brother and I around him, my wife and the whole family around him. It's kind of, without getting too personal, it was kind of, you know, you talk about, by the way, they had a good, had a do not resuscitate. You guys have one of those? Do you have one of those? Do not resuscitate. His wife, Susie, they'd had one done. Because once you put them on the ventilator and all that stuff, you know. Well, so they had a do not resuscitate. And so after all, everybody had come and everybody had said their goodbyes and everything, they unplugged him. I mean, we're right there. You know, they took the tube out of his mouth and unplugged him from the machine. And you could watch the EKG and it would just go, you know, it was gone. It was going very, very slow because his heart really wasn't beating anyway. I think in my opinion, Susie, his wife, said, my Dan was stubborn. And he's always said, I ain't going to die in no GD hospital. I'm going to die at home. And we think he probably did. Even though they got into the hospital, life-saving mess. I don't think Dan was alive when I got over there yesterday morning. But anyway, it was amazing to watch as they unplugged him and the EKG up there, and it got weaker and weaker and farther apart and farther apart. And then all of a sudden, boom, it was a flat line. He's gone. No, the Bible says life's but a vapor. It's here. It's gone. There were five of us. My brother Bill's a baby. Bill made it yesterday in the hospital. My brother Joe's in Azerbaijan or someplace. He's a missionary over there. My sister Jane, she's the oldest. Jane and Joe. And then Dan. And me, then my baby brother Bill, 6 years younger than me. And so we were there, gathered with him. Prayed with him. He's the first one of us to go. You know, a lot of questions pop up, and you don't want to ask it. Here's one. If you can just be personal for a moment, most people don't understand the gospel. Do you realize that the most people that you're around, really, for those of you who are gathering, what the heck's going on? My brother Dan passed yesterday. And, you know, I think of all the times that I tried to share the gospel, if I tried to share the gospel with people, sometimes your family is the hardest, right? Because they would look at me, and now I'm this on-fire Christian guy, and they remember when I was this drunken carouser. They think, what happened to Dave? How do you explain that to somebody? Those of us who've been born again of the Spirit of God, and really, really born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, we understand that feeling. We understand that, behold, all things become new. How do we explain that to somebody else? I think about Dan and me. We were all raised in a Catholic environment. I'm not banging on Catholicism. But can I be honest with you? For the most part, Catholicism was just empty. It was so empty when I was growing up. And understanding of Christ and just the Christian walk and the Christian life and salvation and being born again and not having to go to confession, 5 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys. We learned rules and regulations and do this and don't do that. And there was no life in our Christian faith. There wasn't no life in it. And it's amazing how many people that, you know, I'm thinking even yesterday when the family's gathering around, I look around the room and I'm thinking, I wonder how these of my family here really even truly understand the gospel. Do they really understand? Do they really understand that the Bible says that it's appointed unto us once to die? Everybody dies. And then there's a judgment. That's what it says. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. How come we don't talk about this in the American society? It's one thing that we have that we all have in common. We're all going to die. We don't talk about it. Do we talk about it in our churches? Do we talk about it to one another? The urgency of making sure everybody you know understands the gospel and the heaven and hell and life and death and why Christ had to die on the cross and Satan, the fall of man and all that. And it's more than just a religion and a set of rules and regulations. And the idea that, I know my brother Dan's heart. He lived a wild and crazy life, as did all of us. The average guy think he'd be forgiven by the Lord? Does the average sinner, when they hear the gospel, do they really think they could ever stack up? Because that's what we think it is, stacking up, being a good person. No true understanding, really, of what the gospel is. Dan left us yesterday. Where did he go? You would think everybody in that room would be asking, God, where is Dan? Where is Dan? Oh, Dan passed away. Dan's in heaven. Really? Is he? If you pass away because you got an appointment with death, we all have an appointment of death. Where are you going? Wouldn't you think it'd be worth a little bit of investigation as to where you're going? What happens life after death? What happens after this thing? I was really struck by that yesterday. That, you know, the emergency room was packed with people. Nobody smiling. Because everybody in there, it's trauma. They call it a trauma center. But it's more than trauma for the people who've been injured. It's trauma for everybody else. And the reality of life and death right in front of our face. And I'm just going to tell you, very, very little understanding of the gospel. Very little understanding of it. And, you know, people saying, and I didn't hear this so much yesterday, but people say, well, Dan's in a better place. And, you know, I didn't comment. So how the hell do you know that? How do we know that? I don't know that. I mean, I know Dan said the sinner's prayer when he's in. I know he did. He was raised morally. He understood right from wrong. He was a good, he was one of the most selfless guys you'd ever know. Literally. Give you the shirt off his back. Would he was that kind of guy? That kind of stuff doesn't get you into heaven. Why is it that we take kids and we put them in school for 12 years, college and doctorals, master's degree, and don't talk about the spiritual aspect of life? What is with us? Because we're all going somewhere. It's appointed unto us once to die, and after that to judge. And I just saw it yesterday as I was just sitting there looking around thinking, dudes, every one of us in this room, we got that appointment. That could be me tomorrow. Dan last night, Dan went to bed. He ate. He went to bed. He didn't think he was going to die the next morning. I mean, I'm sure the thought of death was constantly on his mind because he was deteriorating a little bit. If he could just drink some beer and play some poker, he'd have been happy all day. I mean, it didn't matter, right? Happy-go-lucky guy. And then boom. Boom. And think of the millions of people, literally millions of people who have faced this thing over the last 3 years, the death of loved ones. Boom, dropping over dead. Boom, dropping over dead. Boom, dropping over dead. And we don't even talk about it. We don't even talk about it. The average person in your heart out there, you know you have an appointment with death. We all understand that. Then what? What happens after that? Then we could go on and on. He's in a better place in heaven and hell. You know, I don't know. I take a lot of time to do some research on it. Where do you go when you die? Where do you go when you die? I had a really powerful moment there, though. It was really good. We were all in the room. We were all surrounding Dan, surrounding him as he laid there. And I got to give him the illustration of the fish tank. Remember I talked about that when we went to the aquarium, looked at the fish tank. And I said, we're all just fish. We're all just fish. And all around us, they're looking at us. We can't see them, but they are. And Dan's going to pass. They're going to pull him out of the tank. He's going to get pulled out of this tank that we're in. And he may be out of there right now, looking down on him. We don't know. But the Bible says, seeing that we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, So evidently, we don't really have this whole thing figured out. But the question I guess I'm kind of laying on the floor today, look, I'm not heart sick. I miss, you know, my brother died, right? Brother died. It's not unexpected. It's not like some of you have gone through where, boom, they drop over dead. I don't think anybody would be surprised if somebody said, boy, Dan had a heart attack, or Dan had a, I don't think anybody in our family would have been surprised by that, right? So you're still shocked, but you say, well, yeah, yeah. And I think of the people out there, the thousands and thousands and thousands of healthy people who dropped over dead. Boom, they were dead. And it's our job to spread the gospel of the kingdom, to explain this whole thing to them. Dude, you're going to leave here. Where are you going when you leave here, dudes? So I guess that was my takeaway. I prayed with Dan at his home before we took him to the hospital. And just ask him if he was in there. I didn't know if he was still in there or not, Dan. Cry out to the Lord. Just cry out to the Lord now, Dan. You've done a lot of crazy shit. But the Lord will forgive you of it. You don't have to have lived a righteous life, Dan. I'm telling this. There is no other name among heaven, among men, wherewith you might be saved. And you were raised in that Catholic church, and you were baptized, and you confessed, and all that. Just right now, Dan, just call out to the Lord. Just call out for mercy. What do you say, right? And I didn't get any reaction that, boy, he got it, or anything. I don't know. Where is he now? He's a part of that great cloud of witnesses, I think. I don't know. You want to do something? Go online and Google, where do you go with your dot where you die? And you wouldn't believe the hundreds of different things people tell you, because we really don't have an understanding of it. But know this, you're all going to, right? You're all going to. And Dan passed into eternity yesterday, whatever that means. Whatever that means. So throw his picture up there, back up there. That guy there, folks, with one arm from 7 months old. In fact, I posted it on Facebook. It was amazing that number of guys said, oh my God, I remember him when he was young. What? He was a better ball player than most guys with two arms. And he was. He never saw it as a handicap his whole life. Can you imagine walking around your whole life? You walk in the room, people staring at you because you only got one arm. His whole life, that's what it was. What happened to your arm, man? What happened to your arm? It was hard for him not to become a one-arm guy.
Yes.
And, you know, I was thinking about this. Just bear with me a second here. In a different era. See, back then, when that happened to Danny, he was a freak. He was a freak. He was a one-arm kid running around. He was a freak. He could do everything. He could climb. He could shoot guns. He could play baseball. He could play basketball. He could kick football. He could do everything and did everything. But he was a freak, right? And in today's society, if Dan was 18 years old today, he would be an American hero. The media would grab him, say, oh my goodness, look at this one-armed guy and what he is able to do. He'd have been on a Wheaties box. But back then, you know, things were different. Things were different. And I think about my mom and dad. Anybody know how to raise a handicapped kid back in 1955? Anybody know how to do that? And they did, tried to. Treated him normal, like everybody else. So I just want to acknowledge again that his wife, Susie, who is above and beyond what anybody should ever have to do, taking care of that guy, I tell you. But he was one of the most jovial, happy-go-lucky, laughing guys that you'll ever know. And I put on Facebook, he left a mark, man. Huh. Anybody knew him? Wouldn't forget him. loved to play golf. He cheated, but he loved to play it. And as Abraham Lincoln said, now he belongs to the ages. Amen. So thanks. Let me share that. Dale, come on in, Dale.
Coach, it just sometimes just no words can say, you know, our hearts are with you, man. And, and, you know, if there's anything we can do, brother, we're here for you. This is what family is, you know, and you're absolutely right. You know, when you were talking yesterday about that, you know, I didn't say anything, but it, you know, we go to church, we go to conferences, we go to barbecues, we go here, we go there. But we're missing out on the greatest thing is that Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples of them.
That's right.
Right? Because we go to everything but go make disciples of them.
That's right, Dale. That's right. And you know, it's hard because sometimes the hardest disciples to make are your family, right? You guys agree with that, right? That's hard. And Susie said yesterday, Dan was always talking about me and my conspiracy theories. Damn conspiracy theories. Knowing I was right. That's right, huh? Really? Boy, oh boy. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, when you're on this subject, we got to start having these conversations more with other people.
We do, brother, huh? Because we're all point. We all got a disappointment, man. We all got a disappointment.
For example, I had a guy come in Saturday morning, about 65 to 70 years old. Didn't know him. Never seen him before in my life. Come in and said his name was Harold. That was my dad's name. So I get to have a conversation with this guy, and he's wanting the Trump flag. That's all he came in for. So he's looking him over, and he's talking about how crazy things are right now. Stuff's nuts. It's just da-da-da-da. He said, I wore green for 7 years. He's in the military. Good guy. And so we had a little conversation. Then I said something. I said, you believe in God? He said, well, yeah. I said, are you a Christian? He said, no. I said, no. He just looked at me real weird. I said, well, what's your take on heaven and hell? Do you believe in heaven and hell? And now he's like, are you serious? I come for a Trump flag and you're asking me that. He's just looking at me. He said, well, I'll tell you this much. I was a preacher. I said, what? I said, you were a preacher and you don't have an opinion on heaven or hell. No, he said, I don't really know. I said, oh, my goodness. I hit here lies the problem. So he started talking. I said, buddy, do you know what it is to be born again? He's like, no. I said, well, I went a little bit about Nicodemus and Jesus. I said, Nicodemus didn't get it. And he looked at Jesus and said, what is up, Jesus? You know, he's like, just trying to make it lighthearted with him. So he wanted this one specialty Trump flag I had. He seen it hanging on the wall. He said, hey, I'll turn this one back in, give you another $10 for that one. And I don't know where the bag is at with these few flags in it I got. They're specialty ones. So I thought, I'm not even going to try and find it for this guy. I give him my card. I said, listen, give me 3 or 4 days. Call me. I'll find that other bag of flags. And you come back and I'll exchange that out with you. So I got him. He's going to come back. You know what I mean? Because he had to go. His wife's out there. They had to get somewhere real quick. But he spent 15 minutes in there. So I invited him to the tent meeting we're having June 5th through the 9th there in Bladensburg and stuff. You know what I mean? So he's got options. We'll hope he comes back so I get a chat with old Harold.
Amen. Well, here's the truth. Not just directed at you, Jeff. I didn't mean to sound like I'm directing it at you. Folks, you all got family members that don't understand the gospel. Well, they may be churched. they've had church up to their nose. They've had enough of that stuff.
Amen.
But they don't understand the gospel. Shame on us, man. Shame on us. Roger.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think we all need to sometimes pause to understand the lives of our siblings. Mm. Without taking the love away from your brother's situation and his death and your family, I can sometimes think of my own brother, the difficulty he had with some handicaps. And I try now to be more understanding of how that affected his life. And I think sometimes we just need to pause and better understand what our siblings sometimes have gone through. And I was always the chosen boy in school. And as you talked about your brother from day one, from, you know, month 8, his whole life, the psychological and physical challenges, and he went through. They were different than you and me. And
no counseling or anything like that, Rob. Yeah. He just lived his life with one arm, you know.
And we need to understand sometimes our siblings, as lost as they are or as found as they are, they have uniqueness of their own life. And as a brother or sister, we want to be able to help and deal with that, you know. Yeah. So I don't know if I'm making sense, but you know.
Well, here's what I think, folks, and I think this is really, really important. It has been in so many ways almost impossible for me to reach my family. You guys know what I'm talking about? Bible says that familiarity breeds contempt. They know me too well, right? So what we have to do, one man plants, another man waters, God gives the increase. You reap what you sow. We have to share the gospel with our friends, families. Are you with me? Because for whatever reason, you know, I don't know what Dan privately would talk about me. I don't know. Holy Dave or whatever. He's my greatest supporter. He'd always be on the sidelines for football games. We loved each other, fought like cats and dogs. But I don't know, really, he didn't understand me, really. I understood him because I used to drink beer and cuss and crowds and play poker and I understood him. But he didn't understand me. And, you know, I go, what I've tried to witness to him, and it's hard because I'm his brother. Don't give me that crap. So I would just say, all of you who are especially having issues with family members who are lost, try to reach out to somebody else's family member. Try to bridge that gap for them. You be the amener. Let me clay, you plant, and let me be the amener to the seeds you plant. You understand, friends? And that clay comes along. I could be talking to somebody and but they don't want to hear it. They don't hear it. We're too close to each other. And Clay comes along and says something to him, and a light goes off. Say, wow, yeah, okay. And that happens because why? One man plants and another man waters. And truth of the matter is, your family members may not receive it from you, folks. They may not. So give it to the Lord, and you go get somebody else's family member saved. And trust in the Lord to get your family member saved. That's my best advice. Dan knew me too well. Alan.
Hey, good morning, Coach. We love y'all and speak peace to your family. And, you know, I try to emphasize this when I get to preach. I always try to tell people we all have an influence on somebody's life. We all have a platform, no matter how large or how small it is. And, you know, our example of Jesus is far-reaching. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it can be in words, it can be in deeds or whatever, but people are looking at our lives, they're watching, they're listening, and what example are we putting out there? And so that's why it's so very important anywhere we go, because, you know, all of us, Jesus called us all to be fishers of men. Well, all of us have different baits in our tackle box.
Yep.
And so that's why it's so important for all of us to be fishing every day, because we don't know who we're going to influence. We don't know whose family member we're going to touch. That's why I wear this crazy shirt I wear, Need Prayer, Ask Me. And people do come up for prayer. I've prayed with people all over this nation. And so, you know, what bait's in your tackle box? Get it out there and go fishing. We're supposed to do this thing daily. It's a daily thing. Pick up our cross daily, follow him daily, deny ourselves. And we've got to all be doing this, because we don't know whose family member we're going to touch or influence. And God's the one that, you know, through the Holy Ghost directs and guides us each day. I think all of us each day need to say, Lord, I want to be about your business today. And you make these meetings that we need to take place supernaturally, Kingdom Connections, and make it happen.
Yep.
Because everybody out there is praying. I've got lost children. All of us on here got lost folks, family, friends, whatever. And we just got to pray that that individual would come in contact with the people that needs to be in contact with.
Amen. That's right. Amen. But see, here's my point. I guess maybe somewhere along I came across as holier than thou. It's hard with your own family, right?